Going through life, sometimes we get in ruts. Most often, we live our lives how society and culture expect us to, towing the line. But it feels empty. We feel unfulfilled, and we know deep down there's much more to life. This is Unplugged Freedom. This is Unplugged Freedom. Life is not just a one-size-fits-all. We're here to offer you a new perspective on how you can create true freedom for yourself. No limits.
No limits.
No restrictions.
No restrictions.
You have passions and interests, skills and talents. It's time to dig, find them, and use them. Let's do this.
He's here to help you get more out of life. Unplugged Freedom. With Nathan Isaac.
Yo, what is happening, guys? Nathan back once again with another episode of the Unplugged Freedom Podcast. And in today's episode, we are going to be talking about a quote that I actually found the other day. I believe I was reading Jim Quick's book, Limitless. And the quote was really, it just made so much sense. And I believe that if so many more people would actually understand this, that they could really, really change their lives for the better. So the quote is, if you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. And I actually wrote it down as I was listening to it. I was at work and I heard it and I wrote it down in my notebook. I said, I really like that. Because I actually talk about that a lot. And it's actually a big part of who I am today. I always tell people that I have every excuse under the sun to not be in the position that I am in today. You know, I could be in jail. I could be hooked on drugs. I could be, having a criminal record. I have every excuse in order to definitely not be where I am. But a big reason that I'm not is because I never fought for my limitations. So the quote again is, if you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. And I see this all the time. So that's what we're going to be talking about in today's podcast. And I'm actually really excited, guys. I actually found an Adobe program that is brand new and it can actually help with a few things. So hopefully the sound quality is going to be much better. I try to bring high quality to you guys, not only high quality content, but I also want to bring that in a high quality format through the audio as well. So found a couple of tools through Adobe that are really cool. One kind of helps you set up your microphone so you're not too far away, tells you if you're too loud. I know in a couple of episodes ago, there was a little bit of popping happening because I was basically speaking too loud. So hopefully that doesn't happen in this one. Hopefully the sound is much better. And then also there's another piece of software that enhances the voice. So it's actually really cool. So really excited about this. So hopefully it turns out great. Anyways, let's get back to it. So if you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. What does that actually mean? And who actually does that? Because you'd think, like, why would you fight for your limitation? Who would want to fight for the limitation? Well, it's actually very, very prevalent in today's day. Especially with, let's say, mental illness, quote unquote, you'll learn that I have a very specific idea and belief towards mental illness. And so this really gears around mental illness. And we're talking about, let's say, people who think they have OCD, people who think they have ADD, ADHD, people who think they have depression, people who think they have anxiety, people who think that, you name it. Okay. And, for me, what I hate about mental illness, so-called, is that unless you're a potato and you just don't do anything, you're just a brain-dead potato, you can't think, you can't talk, you're not necessarily smart, you're not fit, you're just a potato, just on the couch, just, like, that is, like, as long as you're that, you have nothing, you have no labels attached to you, besides being a potato. Whereas if you like to be neat and tidy, well, obviously you have OCD, right? Obviously. And then at the same time, these things, they actually get much more overused as well. Like, for example, if somebody likes to be neat, tidy, you know, like they will say, or they will describe it. Oh, my OCD, I have to clean the dishes after I cook. Like, it's just my OCD. I'm like, no, that's just being neat and tidy. It's like, you're allowed to be neat, tidy. And there's another spot. You know, you'll always hear me tell you that you're allowed. And you're allowed to be neat and tidy. Not everybody will do the dishes right after they cook. And if that's what you do, my hat's off to you. Fantastic. Right? Because it takes work in order to grocery shop, prepare the food, cook the food, eat the food, and then afterwards you got to clean. And you're so awesome and neat and tidy that you actually do it all right before you get to go sit on the couch. That's awesome. My hat's off to you. But the thing is that people, they will say, well, my OCD, like I can't just leave the dirty dishes. Like, there's no OCD in there. I'll tell you that right now. And there's all kinds of things, you know, people don't want to go to the mall. People don't want to go out during the busy times. They're like, oh, my anxiety, it just makes me feel uncomfortable when there's so many people around. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's your anxiety. You could feel a little bit more anxious in those places, yes. But I wouldn't necessarily use the term my anxiety. You know, I wouldn't necessarily take ownership of it. I would just say I don't like to go in busy places. That's it. I don't even have to bring anxiety into the question unless somebody asked. I said, oh, why is that? How does it make you feel? You know, I'm just like, it's just a little anxious, a little, you know, there's people around, there's a lot of action happening, and I just get a little flustered and there's just too much happening around. That's okay. That's cool. Not everybody needs to. And so, or depression. Depression's a great one. All of these are great. Depression, I have a very strong opinion towards these things. It's people with their so-called depression. And the thing is that, you know, when you talk to people about depression, you know, once again, they take ownership of it. It's my depression. It's mine. Now, what happens when you take ownership of something? Let's say your phone, for example. You have your phone. That's your phone. You say, this is my phone. And then I come along and I say, that's a nice phone. I'm going to take it. And you say, no, don't take my phone. You're not allowed to take my phone. Sure. It's the exact same thing that people do with their so-called mental illnesses. Now, don't get me wrong. There are people who have OCD. They wash their hands 20 times a day. They have to check the doorknob to make sure that it's locked 20 times a day. They have to straighten everything out, you know, no matter where they are. They see something, they have to, you know, straighten it out. And then if you knock it off, you know, it physically bothers them. There's actual people who have actual conditions. But in today's day and age, we have people who, they just throw these things around. If you're confident, you're arrogant. Nobody knows what confidence is. People are afraid to be confident. If you're a man, okay, and you know, you like to be a man, well, obviously you're misogynistic and you're, what is that other word? Toxic masculinity, right? And so it's brutal what happens in this world nowadays. So if you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. There's a lot of these people who say that they have depression, they have anxiety, they have OCD, they have ADD, blah, 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 blah. They say that they have these things. And you can ask them, they're like, would you prefer to have it or not have it? And they say, well, obviously I wouldn't want to have this. It's debilitating. I can't even go out in public. I can't even leave my couch. And you're like, okay, what if there was a way that you could get rid of your depression? That's impossible. depression is a chemical imbalance and I'm already taking drugs. I've already talked to my doctor. There's nothing you can do. No, there's nothing. Well, I get that. Like, what if? No, there is no what if, okay? You don't understand depression. Okay, all right. Just trying to help there, okay? I see this all the time. People fight for their limitations. It doesn't matter if you did have something that could potentially help them. Well, they're not going to look at it. They're not going to see it because they're holding on to it for some reason. They'll never admit that. But why else would you fight for it? Here's an example as to why somebody would want to hold on to, let's say, depression. Somebody's depressed. They can't leave their house. They can't do anything. They're not motivated to do things. They got no energy. They feel tired all the time. Well, the thing is that what are they actually doing? They're actually doing depression. And this is a very, very, very hard concept for people to wrap their heads around, especially people who want to keep something like their depression. And they want to continue to be depressed. And the reason that they want to is because if you take that away from them, that means that they probably have to be a contributing member of society. See, because now with it, they can be on the couch. They can spend all their time doing nothing. And if you take that away, well, that means they have to go out. They don't have an excuse anymore. See, when they were a kid, they used to get sick. You know, mommy, my tummy hurts. What did mommy do? Mommy came along, said, oh, your tummy hurts. Here, you don't have to go to school today. You can stay home. I can take care of you. You know, what would you like? Would you like me to make you your favorite pancakes? Mm-hmm. You got all this love and attention. Well, as you grow up and you get older, you can't necessarily call your boss and say, my tummy hurts, boss. Oh, I can't come to Thanksgiving dinner. My tummy hurts. Oh, I can't do this because my tummy hurts. No, it's different. Things got to evolve. You've got to evolve. And so how do you evolve? Depression's a great way to evolve. So you're depressed, supposedly. And you are getting attention for it. Oh, you don't feel so great. Yeah, you want to be left alone. That's okay, darling. Here you go. Yeah, you can watch your hockey game. Yeah, no problem. You can do that. Absolutely. Well, we're just going to go out, okay? And you just do you. All right. Hopefully you feel better. It's the exact same thing. But that's the thing, is that they would never admit that. Never. Ever. But it is what a lot of people do. People can't get a job because why? Oh, because of my depression. That's why. So if you take their depression away from them, their excuse, now they have to get a job. Now they don't have a reason to skip out on that family dinner, skip out on that weekend adventure, you know? So people use these things, use them very strategically. It's just the very same as, like, let's say people yelling at you for not wearing a mask. The only reason that they're yelling at you for not wearing a mask, and they may know deep down that masks don't work, but the only reason they're yelling at you for it is because it's the only time in their life when they've ever had any sort of power. Because who were the kinds of people who were yelling at you for not wearing a mask? They were usually like a bottom of the barrel, just scumbag, bottom feeding type person, basically. That's pretty much who. And finally, they had reason to have power over people. They felt important. And guess what? They used that. I had a guy at work one time, and I was training, and he's like, yes, I always, just so you know, I always wear my mask. I'll even have two masks on. I was like, oh God, he's a two masker. He's like, so make sure you're always wearing a mask around me. And I'm like, okay. And the funny thing is that I would see him around other people. And I would look and I'm like, I guarantee you, he won't tell that person to wear a mask. But he will to me. Why? Because I'm technically under him because I'm training. And lo and behold, I would see the people he wouldn't tell to wear a mask around him. I thought that was very interesting. They'd be the same distance as I was, but I had to wear a mask. It even fell below my nose one time. He's like, no, put that up. Put that up. Kind of like look over at buddy who's not wearing a mask. I'm like, sure, I'll put it up just for you. So people use these things. They would never admit that that's why they use these things, but it's true. And that's why when I saw this quote, or heard this quote, I was like, yeah, that's so true. If you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. A lot of these people, they do want to keep them. There might be some people out there who may fight for their limitations, but maybe they don't necessarily understand that they actually are. Maybe they actually do believe that there's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do about their so-called OCD or their so-called depression or whatever it is. And so they just go with it. So they fight for it. But they don't actually realize that they're actually fighting for it. I see this all the time. Going back to people doing depression, this is actually a very tough point for people to wrap around their heads. And partly because when you start to mention something like this, what you're basically doing is you're telling them that there's a potential for them to not have to have this depression. And you're taking it away from them. And you can't take it away from them. So when you start to explain, like, no, you do it. Like, you know, if I curled up on the couch right now and maybe I just, you know, wrapped myself up and maybe I was watching depressing movies, you know, movies that made me think of certain times in my life that made me sad. Maybe I felt heartbroken. Maybe I felt some sort of pain. I was watching these movies and I was just laying there. And then I started to get the thoughts in my head of I should really do something. But the day's already gone, so I might as well just lay here and feel bad for myself for actually laying here. And I'm such a terrible person and this is just awful. I hate my depression. Oh, how I just can't get rid of it. If you do this, you can do it right now. You can literally go do that right now. And if you do it and you focus on it enough, you can get yourself to a point where you just waste a whole entire day. And it's like building a snowman. You know, it starts off small. Then it gets bigger and bigger and you're rolling and rolling it. It's getting bigger and bigger. And then it's really big. It's the exact same thing. Except these people, they already know how to get into it just like that. Bam. They know how to get into it. They've practiced for many years. And so they know that they use it. Deep down psychologically, they know. But they'll never admit to it. And it's unfortunate you know, because, you know, someone like myself comes along and I say, hey, what if there was a way out of that? And you genuinely would like to help them. But they know that it's scary, that if they have to leave this alone or get rid of this, that means that they have to get a job. They have to be a functioning person of society. They have to, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with it. And they've used it their whole life. And now you're telling them that, you know, there's a potential that they don't have to. No, they're not going to hear it. They're not going to look at whatever you have and nothing, none of that. Our minds are very powerful. And you and I, who's listening to this, we may not experience depression very often. If ever. I'm sure, you know, there'll be times in our lives where we do, you know, hit some pretty hard times. But there's a difference between pain and suffering. Pain is inevitable. You're going to go through pain at some time, at some point. I'm going to go through pain at some point. But the difference is staying there. If you stay where that pain is, you stay where that suffering is, it's your choice. If you don't move past that, sometimes it's a little bit harder. Like if your son passes away, if your parents pass away, if whatever it is, like sometimes it takes a little bit longer than others. And you can't quite figure it out as to why. Maybe it's a new kind of pain. Maybe it's something you just took you by a blindside, whatever it was. And it can take a little bit longer. And so pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. But the thing is that if we were to practice this daily like these people do, we could end up just like them. I'm not saying you just automatically change your thinking and then bam, it's gone. No, you've done this for years. You have fought for your limitations for years. And it's not just gonna go away the first time you practice. You look at a video online of teaching you how to breathe and you try it once, doesn't do anything. Well, obviously it doesn't do anything. You've been doing this for years. You're a master at it. You unconsciously do it. Whereas like myself, I'd have to sit and practice it to get into it. Just the very same as you'd have to sit and practice to get out of it. So it's an interesting thing. And I guess what I hope is that maybe if you're not one of those people, because if you're listening to this podcast, most likely not one of those people, but maybe you do catch yourself saying these things, my OCD, my ADD, my depression. I always tell people, I used to actually know this psychiatric nurse, and we were friends for a while, and so she would always tell me, she's like, you know what I think you have? I'd look at her and I'd say, unless you say a charming personality, I don't want to hear it. She'd kind of laugh and it's like, no, this is what I think you have. Because she was a psychiatric nurse, she knew all the labels. And I said, you know what? I don't give a shit about your labels, okay? Because you could hand me the big book of labels. I'll take a big red pen and I'll circle the first 10 for you. And then you can continue to circle all the rest for me. And it still won't mean anything to me because I don't give a shit. That's what I hate about these so-called mental illness. That's why I say, like, unless you're a potato, just doing nothing, you're just brain dead. Well, you have no labels. You're considered, say, normal. I've known people who have said that if they, let's say, high-functioning autistic. Now, don't get me wrong. Like I said, there are people within these labels that actually have these things. But the thing is that, like, if somebody's smart, we call them maybe autistic, maybe high functioning autistic. I always love these things that there's like, I always imagine like a web, and there's normal in the middle, and then there's a label. So label would be OCD. And I feel like that there's all these like this, these labels in this web that come out from the center, and that sometimes there would be gaps in it. So they had to like fix the gap in there. So they'd have autistic, let's say. And then they're like, there's a gap right here. What can we fit in there? And then they're sitting around a coffee table, you know, with all their billions of dollars in the pharmaceutical industry, and kind of saying like, what if we say high functioning autistic? Because then they're not quite autistic, but they're also not quite a potato. I mean, normal. They're like, that's perfect. Boom, fits that little gap there. And then there's another gap. They look around and they say, there's another gap over here. What do you think? Like, yeah, you got normal and then you got personality disorder. What do you think? Oh, I got it. How about this? How about borderline personality? You're not quite personality disorder, but you're also not normal. So let's, right? But you're borderline. They're like, oh, I love it. Let's put that there. And so then this web is just created. And, you know, they made sure to fill all the holes. So if you're smart, you know, you have Asperger's, you are high functioning autistic, like whatever it is. If you don't like, crowded places, like there's just so much bullshit that comes along with it. And I always say, like, you're allowed to be smart. You are allowed to be smart. So many people, they just need to put a label on it. And this is actually kind of funny because it relates to so many things like relationships. People need to put a label on it. I knew this one girl. She had broken up with this guy that she was with. And her and I were hanging out with each other. But we weren't dating. And he was still kind of, you know, in the picture. And, you know, she talked to me about it. And she was like, yeah, it's really funny. Like, he's really bothered by us. And in the aspect of, we're not dating. Because he would ask, like, oh, are you guys dating? And she's like, no, we're not dating. Like, well, what do you mean you're not dating? Like, are you, like, have you slept with each other? Like, well, you guys hang out with each other? Like, what do you do? She kind of like just, you know, tell him like things like, look, it's just what we do and like, whatever. Well, it sounds like you're dating. She's like, well, we're not. It's like, well, you have to be. No, we don't. And so people are so like stuck on labels. Like they need a label. They see somebody who's really smart and they're like, oh my God. Then they start going to their big book of labels in their head and they're like, oh, he's autistic. That's what it is. There you go. clean, tidy. Like, oh my God. Like, wow, this person's so like neat and tidy. They're much more neat and tidy than me. Oh, OCD. Yes. OCD. Oh my God. Okay. Good. Whew. For a second there, I thought he was normal, but nope. OCDs. We're going to put that on him. And it's just whatever. Like I said, you're confident, you're arrogant, you're a male, you're toxic, you are just, you name it. That's what I hate about this, all this bullshit that's out there. And that's why I say, like, I will circle the first 10 labels for you. And then you can, you know, have at it for the rest. But at the end of the day, it doesn't mean anything. It's bullshit. I was listening to this guy's video the other day. He apparently just got diagnosed with ADHD. And I thought it was so stupid because like his reasoning for his diagnosis was because he wasn't good in school. He's like, yeah, I wasn't good in school and I just didn't understand as to why. I'm like, fuck, you're allowed to just not be good at school. School's not for fucking one size fits all. School is just, it's just something that's just there. Okay, some people are good at basketball, some people are good at golf. Some people, you know, don't like sports at all. Doesn't mean that we have to slap a label on them. Is there a label? There probably is a label for people that don't like sports. And so it's absolutely like ridiculous, these kinds of things. And so there were other things. I can't remember what he was talking about. I just remember watching the video. And I just thought, so what? You're not good in school? Yeah, sure. Your energy is drained throughout the day. Maybe you might have to have a nap throughout. Like, we get our energy from different sources. You put me in a situation with like a certain type of person, like my energy is just like sucked. But then if you put me into another situation, I can go until like 3 o'clock in the morning. And so it's just, but I'm not going to sit there and say, and like, oh, that's because of my depression, my anxiety, my bullshit, whatever it is. And that's what I hate about these things. It's like, you're not good in school, so you automatically just slap a label on yourself. You're not good at, you don't like hanging out with a lot of people, so you automatically need a label. You don't like, you're not good at making friends. You're not good at, like, you don't need to be. Just because you may not have a lot of friends doesn't mean you don't know how to make friends. You may not want to make friends. I'll tell you a story. When I was a kid, when did it start? I remember when I was growing up, a lot of kids in school, they would always talk about wrestling. Like, you know, like WWE wrestling, the fake stuff. And I hated it because it was fake. But these guys would talk about it like it was real. And I was like, man, like everybody's talking about this. Like everybody was into it except me. Like, you guys know that's fake, right? But they would talk about it like it was real. Like he was actually going to kill this guy, you know? And like, and then this person came and like actually like, oh, did you see him like hit him over the head with that chair? Like, bro, like, you know that he like didn't necessarily, he did, but he didn't, okay? It'd be different if I hit you over the head with that chair, okay? Because I'd hit you with an actual chair. Not a prop chair. And so I remember thinking, there's got to be something wrong with me because I can't seem to partake in these conversations. Talking about the hockey game, talking about the basketball game, this stuff and that stuff. And I always thought, you know, that there was something wrong with me. And what do? Well, you go and you try to figure it out. Like I was trying to like get into hockey games and get into sports and football and all these things. And this was long before somebody told me that I'm allowed to just not like those things. And that's okay. And I don't need to attach a label onto myself because of it. So I was looking at these different things and there's all these, say, online diagnoses, you know, your self-diagnoses. And I eventually landed on social anxiety. And I was reading this. I was like, wow, this is me. Oh my God, this is me. What do I do? Now I had this diagnosis, self-diagnosis. Went to my doctor. And the thing is, it got worse. Once you have that, you know, initial, this is it, it gets worse after that because then you start believing it. Then you start growing it. Remember how I was saying it starts off like a snowball? Small and then gets big. That's exactly what it did. And it got to a point where, like, if I knew you well enough, I would introduce it. I'm in like high school. I'm like 17 years old. If I knew you well enough, I would, you know, trust you and, you know, tell you that I had anxiety. Like, yeah, I have anxiety. And I always said, like, as if I would be introducing the parrot that was on my shoulder. Like, oh, I'm going to finally introduce you to my parrot that I've been carrying around with me on my shoulder. And I bought this book. I remember this book. I think it was like the first product I ever bought on Amazon. I'm pretty sure it was. It was about anxiety. Had a little workbook with it and, you know, things you'd fill out, and it was good. you know, it's good. And I wanted more. And I found this other program. It's called Panic Away. I didn't necessarily have panic attacks, but it really did speak to me and what I had been feeling and reading about. So I bought it. I think it was like $100 or something. And it was an audio program. Told touch about breathing, touch about, you know, panic attacks and anxiety and all this stuff. It was really good. Then the next thing was like this big program called Attacking Anxiety and Depression. And there's like a big infomercial and stuff. It's like, so I would put this on my iPod back in the day, and I would listen to this. And I would be walking around listening to this program. And it was really good. It was very interesting. Really didn't, once again, speak to a lot of the things that I was looking at, reading at, feeling. But did this mean that I actually had anxiety? No. And here's why. Fast forward a few years later, this kind of started my journey into self-learning. So I wanted to learn about anxiety, about books, about courses, about these things. That led me into other programs and other books, and I started learning about those. How do I build confidence? How do I work out? How do I build muscle? How do I eat healthy? You know, it just started like growing. It eventually got to a point where I didn't necessarily talk about anxiety anymore. I totally forgot about it. And it was kind of like, oh yeah, I don't really think about that anymore. Huh, interesting. Fast forward a couple of years later, I downloaded this personality test. And it was the Myers-Briggs. And it said that I was an INTJ, basically a robot. Now, here's the kicker. I wish I would have read this instead of the anxiety bullshit. Because when I'm reading this personality profile, I kept thinking back to that time in my life. And I was like, wow, everything I was feeling back then was normal. It was just my personality taking shape. There's nothing wrong with me. That was just me being me. And that was okay to be me. And I was trying to fit in this, trying to force myself into this like hole when I just didn't fit in there, and that was okay. I'd fit into another one. But nobody ever told me that. Nobody ever told me that maybe I fit somewhere else. And even if you do, that's okay. You're allowed to fit somewhere else. So reading this personality profile, it was just, I kept thinking back to my high school days, back to that time when I thought I had anxiety. And now, today, like you'd never hear me say certain things. My depression, my anxiety. I remember talking to a girl about being single for, she was telling me, and it was very interesting to hear her talk about it because she was talking about how she goes to bed at night, you know, alone, and she's suffering all these years, not being able to find that person and, you know, worrying and just the words that she was using. You could tell that she was just putting herself into such a bad place for being single. When really this could have been like an incredible time for her and her daughter. But instead, she just put herself down in this spiral of bad thoughts and feelings just because she was single. I even called her out on it. There's a whole lot to the story, but she was saying all these things, and I was just kind of, I was listening. That's what a lot of people like about me is I listen, not just the words you're saying, but I'm listening to the words you're saying, how you're saying it, how you're describing it. All of these things, you know, it's say, you, the language you use is detrimental to you. And it's not good. I'm like, I've been single for years and you'll never hear me say that I'm suffering. or that I'm lonely? Do I have times where, you know, during certain times they might be a little bit more lonely than others? Yeah, absolutely. Like, would it be nice to have somebody to come home to? Yeah, it would be. Maybe not all the time, but, you know, there would be like those occasions where you're like, hey, I wish I had somebody, you know, here right now. That'd be nice. It would be nice to have a human touch. And so, but that doesn't mean that you have to be, like, you would never hear me say that I'm suffering, that I'm lonely, and that I go to bed worrying, knowing that I'll find the one someday. And the anxiety builds when I start thinking maybe it won't happen, and how many more years will it take? And you'll never hear me say that. Because our words are so powerful. The language we use is so powerful. There's a lot of people out there, they'll sit there and tell themselves that they're happy a million times a day. I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. Don't forget, you're happy, I'm happy. I'm so happy. I'm just the happiest in the world. I'm so happy. But the thing is that they're not. And they're just trying to repeat it over and over and over so much in order that they will eventually believe it. But when you actually believe it, when you actually know it, you don't have to say it over and over and over. You don't have to yell it. You may even just look out into the ocean, out into the clouds, out into the scenery. And you may just whisper to yourself one time and say, I feel fucking amazing. I do. Feel fucking amazing. And I love where I'm at this point in my life. And that's it. You don't need to repeat it over and over and over again. Are incantations good? Yes, absolutely. Should you do them? Yes, absolutely. But they are not good if you're just blatantly lying to yourself. That's when they're not good. So, the words we say to ourselves are extremely powerful, and we have to be very cautious of them. Catch ourselves. How do you describe yourself to somebody? Like, for example, you know, single mothers. They're like, oh, I'm just a mom. Oh, I don't do anything. I'm just a mom. You're just a mom. You're not just a mom. Fucking job I wouldn't want, okay? The reason I don't have kids, okay? You have 3 kids. Good on you. You're a fucking rock star. Because I'll tell you one thing, I would rather do a million other things than do that job. So don't sit there and tell me that you're just a mom. Because if that's how you describe it, and that's how you feel about it, and you know, like, you have this, like, this embarrassment when you say it too. Like, you should be proud. You know, like, oh, what do you do? I was like, oh, you know, the husband, he goes to work all the time, and I get to stay home with our kids, and I'm very grateful for it, that we get to see our children grow up and, you know, put our beliefs into them and our traditions that we want to put them into them. And we love it. And so we're really grateful that he has a great job that, you know, can allow me to be a stay-at-home mom. And it's just a dream come true. Like, imagine that answer versus, oh, you know, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. You see how the difference between those two very much are? You also physically have to put yourself into a completely different physical stance. Like, your physiology is different just in saying those two different things. So, if you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. It's a really great quote. I hope you got something out of this. And there's a lot learning about your mind. Like I said, I have every reason to not be where I am in life today. I could be dead, on drugs, homeless. I could be an alcoholic. I could be a drug user. I could be in jail. I could be all kinds of things. But I'm not. And why am I not? Because I've learned things to help me take control of my mindset. And part of that is the words that I say to myself. Maybe the words that I say about myself. So I'll leave you with that. Once again, Nathan, the Unplugged Freedom Podcast. Find me on Instagram. You can join my Telegram channel, Unplugged Freedom. And also, where else? I think that's pretty much it for now. Let me know what you thought of the audio. We're going to try something new with this, and I hope it turns out well. And anyways, guys, you take care, and we shall talk more. See ya.